Good morning. My name is Matt Lambert, and this is my wife, Dawn Lambert. We were both members of the Ireland Missions team this summer. Fellow members were Steve and Sarah Whistler, and our team leaders were David and Tucker Yeaworth. We went to Balbriggan, Ireland, which is a small town just north of Dublin on the east coast of Ireland, and we were there from August 6th through the 18th, which is just several weeks back. The primary purpose of our missions trip was to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the secondary purpose was to give some support and relief to the missionaries, Don and Lou Stauffer, who have been over there for the past 20 years, 17 years, something like that. They've been in Balbriggan for 3 years. We found as we prepared for our trip over there and also through talking with Don and Lou after we had gotten there, how really deeply inbred Roman Catholicism is in that section of the country. And most of the Roman Catholics over there believe that their salvation comes through the good works that they perform by saying the right prayers and trying to be a good person. And they don't know the truth that Jesus Christ is really the only way for their salvation and Him alone. One of the ways in which we spread the gospel to the people of Ireland was through a beach ministry, which was called Fun on the Beach. And this consisted of several parts. One of the first things was that Steve Whistler and I, on a couple days, dressed up as clowns and walked from the missionary's house through town to the beach, trying to draw attention to ourselves and hand out invitations to the kids and their parents that were in the town. And does draw attention to himself. It was not a problem. Once we joined the group on the beach, our team on the beach, we played some games with the kids to kind of interact with them, to get them interacting with each other, and for us to get to know them a little bit. Then we tried to settle them down a little bit and have them sit in front of our puppet stage or our skit stage, and we taught them some Bible songs. We taught them songs like the B-I-B-L-E, This Little Light of Mine, and various other ones which they enjoyed. Other parts of the program were a Fruits of the Spirit's banner. It was a tree that had all the fruits of the Spirit cut out, and they'd paste them on, and we were teaching them that these fruits of the Spirit were things that a Christian exhibits. Not that they were the things that get a person into heaven by being joyful or by being good, but they were just things that, as a Christian goes through their walk, these are things that they exhibit to the world. And also we had a memory verse, a clothesline. Tucker Yeaworth had cut out clothes on cardboard, and we had different parts of the verse, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. As you start to learn the verse, you turn over different parts of it so they can't see it, and by the end, you just have the blank clothes there, and the kids have learned the verse. That was exciting to see how many kids could learn the verse by the end of the day each day. And then we had a puppet show or a skit that we made the theme for our week, the life of Jesus. And the first day we talked about the anticipation of Christ coming. And Tuesday we had Christmas. Wednesday we talked about some of his parables. We did a puppet show on the lost sheep. Thursday we talked about the Good Samaritan and did a skit for that. And then Friday we had kind of a wrap-up session talking about what we had learned throughout the week. And each day we tried to present the gift or the message of salvation to the kids and how it related to the story that we had given them that day. And then Lou, Don's wife, would give a little wrap-up story at the end and give an invitation to the kids that if they want the team more about Jesus, that they are welcome to do that. And that was an exciting time. Several kids had talked to several team members with good questions. It was amazing to see how God really was working in the lives of the kids that had come, and also in different aspects such as the weather. Everybody knows that Ireland can be a rainy country, and when we got there on Saturday morning, we were greeted by Ireland mist, Ireland rain, and Ireland clouds, as opposed to, say, Mexican rain or something, which would have been strange. But anyway, the first day, it did rain a little bit, and God had his hand in that because we met three young boys down on the beach, and they got to talking with us. We were playing a little kickball with them in the rain, and then we went to the church to have our program for the day. And one of the boys, it got his attention. God really got a hold of his mind and his heart. And through the rest of the week, he faithfully brought his younger brothers to the program, and he himself, the work was there. And you could tell there was a change in his mind and heart. He was really starting to listen and consider what things were said. So we were happy to see that a seed was sown there. These kids that we were ministering to on the beach were the rough and tough kids of Ireland. They were ages 4 through 14. And some of these 4 and 5 year olds were using language that Eddie Murphy would blush at. We were very eye-opened at the family backgrounds they come from. But again, it was interesting to see that God really was working in their hearts. By the beginning of the week, there was maybe 5 minutes you get them to sit still and listen to what you're talking about. And by the end of the week, they'd sit there and they'd listen and they'd sing along and they'd try to learn the memory verses. And God was very apparently working in their hearts, and that was exciting. Another part of our missions trip was the Doors ministry. And if you talk to any of the team members before we left, that was one aspect of our trip that we were all nervous about, because none of us, we had that particular gift to go on the Doors, which is knocking door to door and trying to talk to people about Jesus Christ. And the way Don had us do that was we had a flyer that had a name change of the church and gave a little background about what the church stood for and what they believed in, and that was kind of a way for us to talk to somebody. And we had various degrees of welcome and animosity in our greetings, but this was a learning experience that I know God gave us for a reason. We also had videos to hand out to anyone who we felt we had a good conversation with, and God was very gracious in the way that he had provided for all of our expenses for this trip, for the missions part of our trip. And then there was also some money left over that we were able to purchase about 100 videos. They were made in Dublin. They were produced in Dublin. And they were a good video presenting the gospel message. We got to view one of those while we were there. So that was a neat tool to be able to hand out. We were able to hand out a couple of those videos. And hopefully Don and Lou's follow-up that some of those seeds will someday be harvested. I think that I was thinking last night, and Dawn and I were talking about the one thing that I did really come away with, as awkward as I felt about going on the Doors ministry, I think I can truly say that God put me in that situation for me to examine myself at how comfortable or uncomfortable I am about sharing my faith with others. And I think that's a big part of our Christian walk, and one that I know I need improvement on and was convicted on. So it was a good learning part of our trip.
Matt had mentioned the opportunity to do the beach ministry and the Doors ministry. Another opportunity the Lord provided for us was to actually minister to the members of the Balbriggan Baptist Church congregation. And we were able to do that by helping them with the worship services on both of the Sunday mornings that we were there. David Yeworth played guitar, Steve played ukulele, and Matt for the music part of it. We were able to teach them a lot of new songs, and they actually taught us a new worship song that we'll be sharing with you in a few minutes. One of the neat things that the church did was to organize a potluck lunch for us after the first Sunday service that we were there. And it was a real fun time of just sitting all crowded around these little tables in this little tiny building and having a delicious lunch with potatoes, of course. And it was wonderful, the time of fellowship and the opportunity we had to learn more about the members of their congregation. And after we were finished lunch, as the adults were cleaning up, we as a team started to sing songs with the children to kind of keep them occupied. And then the adults started joining in and singing songs with the children. And then we moved on to singing regular praise and worship songs. They weren't just children's songs anymore. And it was absolutely amazing and wonderful to see how the Lord just evolved into a time of utter praise and worship to him. It was completely impromptu. It was not planned. And we must have sang for close to an hour and a half, just praising the Lord and fellowshipping with the other Christians in the church. And it was really, it was truly a beautiful thing to be able to experience that. Another neat opportunity we had was to spend a Friday evening with a couple in the church. Their names are Noel and Bernie, and they have two little boys. And they came over to the Stauffers on the last Friday evening that we were there, and they... the boys tried to play the harmonicas and while the guys were playing their instruments, and we had, again, another real impromptu time of just fellowship and worshiping our Lord. And we learned, or we could see, how absolutely hungry these people were for fellowship with other Christians, because they just don't have that over there. And they really were anxious to talk with us about the Lord and about what the Lord was doing in their lives and how what he was teaching the Word. And it was just a wonderful opportunity to be able to do that. When we first started thinking about, we heard about that there was going to be a short-term missions trip in Ireland, and the Lord really started working on both of our hearts about that we felt that he was leading us there. But I kept arguing with him, and I kept saying, well, I'm not very talented. I don't have a very exciting testimony. You know, how are you going to use me? But he did, and he gives all of us unique personalities and unique gifts. And one of our prayer requests was for you to pray for us as a team, to have unity as a team. And we came back wonderful friends, and we just developed such good relationships with our other team members. And so that we really thank you for your prayers in that area. But the Lord really used us as a cohesive team to present the gospel message to the children of Ireland. It was a life-changing experience for me. And I just would like to thank you on behalf of the team. For those of you that contributed financially to our trip, the Lord provided all of the money that we needed. And as Matt said, we actually had some extra that we were able to purchase the videos and leave with the church over there. And we especially want to thank all of you who prayed for us consistently because, as Matt said, we were very anxious about the door-to-door ministry, and the Lord really gave us confidence in that area as well.
We'd like to invite the rest of our team up, and we had learned a song while we were over there that the church uses for praise and worship on Sunday mornings, and we'd like to play that and to worship God with you all. It's a very simple melody. The melody repeats itself a couple times, so you shouldn't have a hard time picking it up. Please join in as you feel led.
Stand together and continue to worship the Lord. Number 11, Now Blessed Be the Lord.
Good morning. My name is Leah Bland, and I am representing what most of the youth did in Boston. I say most because there were five teenagers who went on the Boston trip, but four of us worked with the children at the VBS. Before we left, we all stood up here and told you that we were responsible for the crafts at something like a vacation Bible school. We didn't know what else we were getting into. Well, the first day we arrived at the church we were going to be working at, I was really amazed. The area we were going to be working with the kids in was a little bit about the size of the stage, pretty small for 20 children under the age of 10. Well, as the Lord knew and provided, that would be plenty of room for the kids most of the time. Each day at the camp, the children would arrive around 10 a.m., and we would start off by praying and singing a few worship songs. After worship time, we would play a couple games. One of their favorites was called Dead Soldiers. This was new to all of the counselors, but it was our favorite because this game involved every kid laying down as still and as quiet for as long as possible. And before we knew it, it was lunchtime, which provided a break for the counselors as well. There were only six of us, four from this church and two, Nancy and Renee, from Boston in Place of Promise. After lunch, it was time for Emily Stott's hard work to be put to use and for the children to have fun making crafts. Another short game or two, and it was about time to leave. But before they left, they had to write one thing they liked about camp, one thing they didn't like, and one thing they learned about God in their journals that we put together for them at the end. Each day, Nancy and Renee prepared a Bible story along with a skit and a story to illustrate them. 2 days, we got to leave to show the skits to the kids. One day, we got to go to the Arboretum, and one day, we got to go to a place called Castle Island in Boston. The best part of the trip for me, I think, as well as the other teenagers who went, were the kids and working with them. Most were obedient, and they all loved to get attention. One of their favorite things to do was get piggyback rides from us, even the biggest of them. One thing I learned about the children in Boston craved attention. Most children do, but as I was thinking about their situations at home, I noticed that probably most of them were not at all typical to a child's home atmosphere here in the United States. Some of them that came every day, I could guess that their family life wasn't the greatest. So I, along with the others, tried to give them a hug or a piggyback ride when they wanted one. One of the best memories for me was when the second day was over and one of my favorite little girls, Asia, came over to me and she put both her hands on my face and just said, "Goodbye, I'll see you tomorrow," and gave me a big kiss on the lips. Another thing that one of us had learned was the power of prayer. One day when we got back from Castle Island, the boys were in a terrible fight. They were punching each other, and it was pretty much a ruthless fight. And each of us grabbed a kid and threw him up against the van and needed to stop it. So we just were so tired after that day. We went back to the house, and we just prayed that the kids who needed to be sent home that day and disciplined would come back the next day, and that they would learn more about our week's theme, which was making good choices. Our prayers were answered. One of the little boys, Keon, he was one of the biggest offenders, and he came back and was listening to the stories, and all the fighting was kept to a minimum. In the city, showing love to people who you don't know if they're Christ is so crucial because they probably don't understand true human love and affection, never mind God's everlasting love. Beth Kidd and the other people at Place of Promise show the everlasting love of God to the people of Boston. A couple of things you could pray for is strength for Beth as she goes through her daily grind and getting things accomplished every day. Beth is Alice Veshey's sister, by the way. In one of the recent newsletters I received from Place of Promise, I found out that Cassandra, one of the ladies who had come here with Beth to speak, and she helps Beth a great deal at Place of Promise, is moving on to another job. And then you could pray for Place of Promise that they would find another person to fill Cassandra's shoes, which there are a lot of. So another prayer request is for the kids that we worked with, that we taught them, and that when next summer rolls around, that they would be willing to come to camp again and learn more about Jesus. But more importantly, I think you could pray for their safety. Most of them live directly in the inner city of Boston. Just pray that you would keep them from the harm and some things that are natural for the city. One child in particular, his name was Roger, was a very sick boy, and he had problems with his kidneys, and he has been part of Beth's, he's been receiving most of Beth's attention. He received a kidney transplant and is doing well, so you can thank God for a successful transplant and continued recovery. The last request is for all the teenagers that went on the trip. We had a wonderful time and we learned a lot, and it really impacted all of our lives, and I think that all of us would like to go back next summer, so if you could just pray that God would be working in our lives and that we would see his will if it was to go back next summer.
My name is Deb Maitland, and I'd like to share what the adults did, and JD as well, with our time while we were at Place of Promise. We had went with the idea of receiving mentoring training and interacting with the residents. When we got there Monday morning, bright and early, so that the teens could talk to the coordinators of church camp, We were asked to clean out the front room, sand and polyurethane the floor, paint the wall, ceiling, and trim, and hopefully move all the furniture back in Tuesday morning. We were asked to paint the porch floor, waterproof the fire escape 3 flights, and clean out 2 rooms in the basement. We did finish all the work, but the front room was not put back together again until Thursday morning. Tuesday, when we had painted the windows open, and that night someone came in and stole the TV and VCR with the tape in it that the church group was going to use the next day. We prayed that God would use that tape in the person's life, the person who stole the TV. It was the cross and the switchblade. We were also asked to be sure to have the windows locked when we left in the evening. We were able to interact with the residents while we were there and have morning devotions with them. We all received approximately 10 hours of mentoring training. It was just awesome listening to Beth talk. We were asked to do homework before we went, and she spent the 10 hours teaching us from the answers that we had given on our homework without any notes whatsoever on her part. I can't even begin to share with you 10 hours worth of the mentoring, but I can give you some of the highlights that stuck with me while she was speaking. To mentor or disciple someone, we need to know who God is and who God is not. We need to actually have experienced God in our lives, not just head knowledge. We need to know who we are and who we are not. We need to know our talents, skills, likes, dislikes, strengths, and weaknesses. And we need to know who we are according to God. We need to know our neighbor. We need to know that our identity and our neighbor's identity is not the same as our behavior or their behavior. And we need to know that any sin or disgusting behavior we might see in our neighbor's life, that same root sin is in us as well. And but for the grace, God's grace and mercy, we would be the same. One of the things she mentioned was that the major problem of the inner city is that the sins of the father are visited down to the next generation. And each generation are just worse, getting worse and worse. One of the things that had the biggest impact on me was along about Thursday, I realized that of all the stories she told, and she told many, that there wasn't a person she told about that had a normal, intact family life. According to an article in World Magazine that was published this month, the family is the foundation of all social organizations, including civil government. And that in the family, we learn biblical virtues of love, service, submission, community, morality, and forgiveness. And I was struck how much God had blessed me with having a normal family and being able to grow up as an adult who could function in society. Small things that we take for granted that most of us know how to clean up after ourselves. If you see an ice tea goes up the wall, you clean it off. If you have a small repair that needs a screw put in, you put it in before the doorknob falls off. Just little things that we take for granted that we automatically do. Many of them had no clue what that was about. And I realized that because God has blessed me so much that I really need to make family a priority, my immediate family and extended family. James 1:27 says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." And I think it's amazing that God relates having religion with looking after those who do not have intact families or normal families. And what has struck me the most, that because God has blessed me so much and given so much in the fact of a family life and the spiritual blessings as well, that I need to, in turn, give to others what God has given to me in the idea of helping people who do not have families. And I'm not sure how that's going to play out yet, but I'm sure God will give me that opportunity. And I would just challenge all of you to be looking for the same opportunities.
Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 says, "There before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And they cried out in a loud voice, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. In January of this year, when the missions committee first started to present the summer missions trips, God specifically reached out and tapped me on the shoulder of my heart, and he told me to go to Mexico this year. Now, this is the third year that our church has sent a summer team to Mexico, but for some reason, this year was the year I felt compelled to go. And I really struggled with it for quite some time. I consider myself a fairly busy person, so I debated to God about his decision. I told him I had responsibilities as a husband and a father. I have civic responsibilities. I'm a borough councilman. I'm going to miss a meeting in July. I'm an elder. I work with the Board of Trustees. In fact, I reminded God that I was going to miss an elders meeting if I go. I really got desperate. My birthday is while we're gone. I literally argued in my prayers and found myself in the morning when I was spending time with God, I'd be in the middle of a prayer and then I was arguing. But his call was real and it was sure. And as I spoke to my daughters, Carly and Kelly, about thinking about going, they too felt that they should go. And we all began to pray for God's provision if he wanted us to go. Seeing God work in a different culture is a real mind-broadening and it's a heartwarming experience at the same time. I can't begin to tell you most of what we learned in 5 minutes, but I'll try and express just two things that I think you can relate to and some things that maybe you can take home with you today. First of all, if God is tapping you on the shoulder to do something, don't worry about arguing with him about it. Go ahead and argue with him. But don't just categorically say no if you feel like he's telling you to do something. God won't send you in a wrong direction because God wants you to have fullness of joy. In his book, Desiring God, John Piper says, "The Bible plainly teaches that the goal of all we do should be to glorify God, but it also teaches that in all we do, we should pursue fullness of joy. The Bible does not force us to choose between God's glory and our joy. In fact, it forbids us to choose. If God is calling you to do something, you're going to get tremendous joy in doing it. In fact, you won't experience fullness of joy unless you pursue what he's calling you to do. I think I can speak for all 14 of our team members when I say that our 2 weeks in Mexico brought more joy to our lives than anything else we could have done in any other place on the globe. God gave us fullness of joy in following his call, and he was and we were rewarded with great joy. The second truth that really blared out to me was the reality of God through prayer. From my prayers at the beginning when I was arguing with God to the exact and direct responses to many petitions that we made, God made himself very real in prayer on this trip. Many of you prayed for us every day while we were gone. You know, we were a team of fairly strong personalities. When I saw the makeup of the team, and I didn't realize when I turned my name in who all was going, I argued again, really. I said, I don't know if I want to go with this many A-type personalities. If you take strong personalities and, I should say, A-type sinners, and you compress them in a small space, and then you add the stress of long hours, the tendency toward sin increases substantially. But God's grace was wonderfully present with us on this trip, and it was a vehicle to bring us real close together, and we really did become a family. I don't think that there's any other way but in prayer that we realize that the pursuit of God's glory is the same as pursuing our joy. Again, I'll quote John Piper. He says, "Prayer pursues God's glory by treating him as the reservoir of hope and help." In prayer, we admit our poverty and God's prosperity. We admit our bankruptcy and his bounty. We admit our misery and his mercy. Therefore, highly exalts God precisely by pursuing everything we long for in him instead of in ourselves. How long has it been since you've really experienced fullness of joy? If you want real joy, glorify God by living in obedience to him. When he taps you in the shoulder, argue, but then follow him. Everyone who God calls to go on a missions trip should go. You'll know when God's tapping you on the shoulder of your heart, and you'll experience tremendous joy when you do. I know 13 other people, the other members of our team, who will verify that this is true. If God's calling you to go, don't hesitate, because there is fullness of joy in it.
Thought I'd give you an idea of what we did in Mexico. For those of you who have either no idea or just have a little bit of an idea. Cristo Victorioso is a church in Puebla, Mexico, about 2 hours south of Mexico City. And it has been under construction since 1993, I believe. It's not the kind of thing where we come in with a team of people, or they put together a construction crew, or hire an outfit and put a building together that is earthquake-proof within a matter of months or even a year. It's something that is a long process. And what we did during this trip was to take what has been ongoing and go a little farther, primarily in the laying of block, the pouring of piers with re-rods in them, and also in forming up areas for the next trip to happen. The next trip, hopefully, will put a roof over the second floor of this church so that what we did could actually be used. And each team that goes down, every time it's worked on, is building on what was done before. As Merle alluded to, there were some long hours. We tried to get up early to get a good start and try to beat the rain which came on during the middle of our time there. And also, led by Jerry Brady, we had a team who worked with the children for Vacation Bible School with puppets and songs and that kind of thing. And that, in a nutshell, is what we did. When Matt told me to put something together for 5 minutes, I figured I speak so many words a minute. So a picture's worth 1,000 words. If I told 1.4 pictures, so picture this. I'll give you a few paradoxes of a missions trip. People send you money to fly to exotic destinations. God says, you've got 2 weeks vacation? I want it. You say to your spouse, hey, it's only 2 weeks out of a 52-week year. What could go wrong? You'll be fine. During that 2-week period of time, someone decides it's time for your car to need major repair and for the hot water system to go down. Third one, you get inoculations before you go, and you make sure you follow to the letter the old adage, don't drink the water. And somehow, Montezuma gets a month's worth of revenge when you get back anyhow. Of course, the three paradoxes are a learning thing. They take what your perspective on something was to understanding what reality really is. Though there are a few things about Mexico that were different than what I thought originally they would be and had to change my mind about them, there's one thing that I think everyone who would serve on any team or even in their local area, their field here in Elverson, would need to deal with. Teaching God's truths through Vacation Bible School, evangelizing on a beach, door to door, helping others by building, working with people, healing with, say, prevention, with remedies. All these things are gifts. They're among the gifts that God gives us. And the Bible says that God is the potter and we are the clay. So here I am, this vessel that the potter has made, and I've determined what gifts from this list I've given me. So here I am, pure of heart, ready to go and serve. Really? What I learned is that just because my willingness is there, willing to give up vacation time, time with family, money, possibly health, and I have certain gifts, that maybe God needs to do something to this vessel before I really am truly ready to use in the way He wants to use me. When I thought I was a ready vessel to be used, God showed me that He first needed to empty this vessel of self. There's no letter I in the word vessel, and neither is there the letter I in anything in which God is going to get 100% of the glory. So if God is to receive all of the glory, He needs to empty out the self out of our vessel before He can truly. Sometimes He needs to put us back on the wheel and shape us a little bit differently, perhaps modify our design. But then when He has the vessel, humble, empty of self, and full of His gifts, it is time to get down to work. If you desire to go on a missions trip, or if, like Merle said, you feel God tapping you on the shoulder, I would strongly encourage it. Examine yourself first and let God examine the contents of your vessel. It's still amazing to me to think back how God took 14 very different people, put them in a strange culture doing things that they don't normally or ever do, and brought about a very productive work and something which I think brought honor and glory to Himself. I know He had to modify one of the vessels first, but it's all to God's glory. Being a vessel to be used by God. Did you get the picture?
Ask you to take just a few minutes. You'll hear music playing, and just take a few minutes and fill that out, and then I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward and to collect those, and then we'll sing one more hymn.
As I live, declares the Lord, He will bow to me. Oh, Lord, may we be part of seeing that happen. We know it will happen whether we're a part of it or not. But we plead You to tap us on the shoulder while we still have breath, that we may be part of what You are doing, that we may know fullness of joy, that we may turn our eyes on Jesus, and that the things of the world that grip us so will become strangely dim. Now unto Him who loved us and died for us and gave Himself for us, be all praise and glory and honor. Amen. Tonight,